From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, December 8th. I'm Abby Larico. Getting donated food to where it can do the most good is not an easy task, especially for very large organizations that are dealing with a lot of food.
I'm sick of them giving me potatoes. I have so many potatoes here already. I have a warehouse full of potatoes.
The answer for the nonprofit organization Feeding America was an auction of sorts. That story's coming up after this news on The Gateway. A man is in custody for shooting a police officer after a multi-agency manhunt Friday night in the Metro East. 26-year-old DJ Marshall was arrested for firing at officers in Granite City. Police had been called out for an unwanted subject Friday afternoon when someone began shooting at the officers, hitting one of them several times before running away. Granite City Police identified Marshall as the suspect and released a prior booking photo calling him armed and dangerous. Several area police departments joined in on the search. Granite City's police chief says the injured officer was able to speak at the hospital and shared hopes for their full recovery. The effort to recall St. Charles Mayor Dan Borgmeyer is now playing out right in front of him. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports from what's become a weekly protest as part of the recall push.
About a dozen St. Charles residents gathered on Main Street in front of the mayor's house Sunday afternoon. Some passersby signed the petition to recall the mayor, and a few grabbed a sign and joined them. This is the third week of a recurring weekly protest organized by 22-year-old Zane Scott. Scott says his biggest concern for the city is a lack of affordable housing.
We're a retail, restaurant, tourism city. We need housing that people working in those industries can afford.
Other concerns from those at the protest and involved in the recall effort include the sale of St. Charles Park's land, Borgmeyer's handling of public funds, and his alleged threats to cut funding to the city's popular Christmas traditions events. In St. Charles, I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis is suing Missouri over who has the authority to appoint a new sheriff if ongoing legal proceedings end with Alfred Montgomery removed from his post. While Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway says the authority lies with the governor, interim city councilor Michael Garvin argues the city charter gives the responsibility to the mayor. But Board of Aldermen President Megan Green and the majority of the board passed a resolution Friday contending they should be in the conversation to name a replacement sheriff. Green says the mayor's attempt to, quote, unilaterally appoint the interim sheriff is an overreach. A Cole County judge will get to decide who has the authority to fill the potential vacancy. A St. Louis guaranteed basic income pilot program giving families $500 a month helped them cover basic needs like food and rent. That's according to a new study. The Midwest Newsroom's Naomi Delcamiller reports unexpected challenges, though, still hit families hard.
Washington University researchers found that participants in the 18-month program experienced less economic hardship and improved well-being. But a mid-program lawsuit pausing the payments, the May tornado, and the government shutdown may have erased those gains. Stephen Roll led the study.
A lot of people really are just one emergency away from a financial disaster. And I think we saw evidence of that here.
Shawnee King, a single mother of three, said the financial progress she made was wiped out.
It was a great program. I really appreciate it. I just didn't think I would need it more now than ever.
A lawsuit challenging the city's legal right to use public money for direct cash assistance could stop similar programs in the future. I'm Naomi Delcamiller, the Midwest Newsroom.
St. Louis is bracing for the loss of federal funds that help provide housing for homeless individuals. Continuum of Care is a program that brings together local leaders and nonprofits to help people find permanent housing. The secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has criticized the program as, quote, a slush fund. Speaking on St. Louis on the Air, St. Louis Department of Human Services head Adam Pearson pushed back against the secretary's claim.
It is not a slush fund. We would call it a fund for opportunity for individuals to get back on their feet, to be used by organizations that are supporting individuals who are unhoused, formerly unhoused, or at risk of homelessness.
Pearson says any loss of funds would have an immediate impact. As more companies attribute layoffs to artificial intelligence, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley is pushing a bill that would require companies to report to Congress when employees are laid off due to AI. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has details.
The AI-related Jobs Impact Clarity Act would require companies to report the number of people they lay off due to AI to the Department of Labor at the end of each quarter. The department would then compile that data and publish a report to Congress and the public. The bill comes in the wake of growing reports of layoffs nationwide. A recent report found AI was the second most cited factor for job cuts, with roughly 48,000 layoffs this year. Oliver Roberts is co-director of Washington University Law's AI Collaborative.
I very much believe that we could see the great AI replacement, that is, thousands and even millions of people getting laid off from their jobs.
Roberts said the data provided to Congress by the proposed bill would enable legislators to respond to how AI shapes the job market. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The president of the local steelworkers union says his office has already been flooded with calls from those wanting their old jobs back. U.S. Steel announced last week that one of the two blast furnaces in Granite City will be turned back on. Craig McKee is president of USW Local 1899. He says he hopes the new Japanese owners see value in the Metro East Mill and keep it open long term.
Nippon hasn't seen our furnaces run, and they're going to get to now, and I know they're smart people, and I definitely have more faith in them than I do the old U.S. Steel leadership.
McKee says U.S. Steel is eyeing an April 1st start date, but it could be sooner. Reigniting the blast furnace is expected to bring back 400 jobs. The community organization For the Ville is bringing a docent training program to St. Louis. The docents, or tour guides, will help share the stories of Black St. Louisans and their legacies. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, one docent says the program holds space for stories about Black St. Louis's resilience.
T. Parks has always been a fan of preserving St. Louis Black history because she says it's not always told in the best light.
When we understand that we are just a reflection of who our people were back then, I think it'll bring a little bit more enrichment to our lives. And more than anything, holding ourselves to a higher standard than what we have been told.
Parks is one of the program's newest members. She hopes the tour sparks conversations that promote economic growth in St. Louis's Black communities. The docents will provide tours across the city and discuss topics like Black wealth and Black St. Louis's connection to the Gay Ray Arch Mall. For the Ville will open applications for the next cohort in the spring. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Washington University women's soccer team are champions of the NCAA's third division for a second year in a row after a 2-1 victory over Emory University Saturday. The victory marks the third national title in the program's history and head coach Jim Conlin's 500th career victory for the Bears. The team's victory counts as the university's 28th national title. And St. Louis University's men's soccer team will head to the College Cup for the first time since 1997. That's after a 3-2 win against Akron University Saturday in the NCAA Men's Soccer Championship quarterfinals. It's the 17th time SLU has appeared in the Cup, which is the Final Four of college soccer. The team heads to the Cup on a 14-game unbeaten streak. The Billikens rallied after the half to make up a 2-goal deficit and eventually score a winning goal. The College Cup semifinals will be held Friday, December 12th. SLU will play North Carolina State at First Horizon Stadium in Cary. Also, Indiana University is ranked number one heading into the college football playoffs after that Big Ten championship win Saturday night. No, this is not a locally relevant story per se, but I went to IU and I'm the host of this podcast. So, go Hoosiers!
Listener support is St. Louis Public Radio's largest source of revenue and makes podcasts like The Gateway possible. Show your support for regional news by making a gift at stlpr.org, and thanks.
The nonprofit organization Feeding America was looking for a better way to distribute billions of pounds of food to food banks each year. It used to use an algorithm to answer that question. It generated a list of food banks based on need, and when a shipment came up, Feeding America called the food bank at the top of the list. But what if a food bank didn't need or want that donation? The answer to that problem is a market economy of sorts. Harshan Ratanpal has more on how the nonprofit switched to letting food banks bid on food.
Just about every morning when Daryl Bascom gets to the office, he logs onto his computer and immediately starts bidding online.
It's kind of fun to go out and shop each day.
We're not talking eBay here. Bascom works at the Food Bank for Central and Northeast Missouri, based in Columbia, and he's bidding on truckloads of food.
We have a bid coming up at noon. I found a snack load on there. Slim Jims, it has some Angie's, popcorn, some cookies.
But what Bascom really wants today is a truck of baby formula. The government shutdown affected some programs that usually provide formula to families who need it, and he's seeing high local demand.
All the food banks have been scrambling, trying to figure out how can we get baby formula into the network.
But to get the formula to Columbia, he'll have to outbid food banks across the country on the choice system, Feeding America's method of deciding who gets what. If a food bank really wants a certain truckload, its leaders can place a high bid of shares, basically fake digital cash. It's a one-time sealed bid, and whoever bids the most shares by noon wins that truckload. And every day, those shares are redistributed among the food banks. It's the brainchild of Canis Prendergast, a University of Chicago economist. When he started working on this, he remembers talking to a man named Roger about the old system.
And Roger says, "I'm sick of them giving me potatoes."
Roger was a food bank director in Idaho.
"I have so many potatoes here already. I have a warehouse full of potatoes."
The problem was Feeding America had no way to know that one food bank might be overflowing with potatoes and another might desperately want some. So Prendergast proposed this market economy, where food banks use fake cash to indicate they don't want potatoes but would love baby formula. For some, including a few food bank directors on that task force, markets bring to mind unfairness. So Prendergast had two goals: make a system that's efficient and equitable.
There's an inherent fairness in it.
This is where the daily share redistribution comes in. For example, food banks in areas with higher poverty get more points to spend, and smaller food banks can borrow shares to spend on credit. And two decades in, it's working. Prendergast says food banks value the donations through the choice system much more than before.
In a world where people want very different things, but you're not sure exactly what they want, sometimes markets, if they're designed well, can facilitate choice in that way.
But markets can't solve scarcity. Back in Columbia, it's now noon, and Bascom is seeing how his bids went. He did win that truck of snacks for 3,000 points. But that baby formula?
It went for 40,000 points.
He lost to a food bank in New York that spent more shares on formula that day than Bascom had in his whole account. He typically only gets a few more each day and knows if he spends it all at once, he won't be able to bid on other food for a while. I'm Harshon Ratanpal.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.